we are going to have revival. Well, I'll tell you one thing. We're not going to have revival without being a people who walk in faith. Ever since Dad Hagen left his post to be home with the Lord, there's been a backlash, the enemy doing everything he can to discredit those decades that he laid down, those foundations of faith. And because of certain abuses in the camp, that's fueled and give them ammunition for the enemies to come, discredit it. And everywhere I see it now. If you think we are going to possess this land that God has given us without faith, you have another thing coming. So let's just start again here. Go ahead and open to... Now, where would you start if he's going to teach on faith? Let's see now. How about Hebrews 11:1? Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11:1. You can go ahead and be putting a marker. We are going to be going to some verses. A little Bible drill day. Romans 10:17. And I know you know these verses, but how did Peter put it? While I am in this body, it is good to put you in remembrance of these things. And I think we're going to look at one aspect of it today that maybe you haven't, maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't. I only recently saw it myself. What is faith? You know, over and over again in the Bible, it says the just shall live by what?
Faith.
The just shall live by faith. Most people don't even know what it is. And even if they theologically, doctrinally, with head knowledge can tell you what it is, they don't know a thing about living by it. They maybe can just discuss it, and seem to show you verses about it. But I can tell you right now, you can hang around somebody about 20 minutes and just listen. And you can pretty well know whether that person knows anything about living by faith or not. Now, we're going to be a people that lives by faith. The Bible does not say the just shall know what faith is. Although you do need to know what it is. No, the just shall live by faith. And there are precious few, including yours truly, who consistently live that way. But if we're going to be the people that God has spoken that we are, and going to go into revival like He has spoken we will, we are going to have to be a people that don't just know about it, sing songs about it, but a people who live by faith. Well, what is it? The most purest definition that I know of in all the Bible of faith is Hebrews 11:1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Now for the purposes of today's teaching, we could focus on a lot of things there, but let's focus on today it's your evidence. And it's the evidence of what? Evidence of things not seen. Evidence of things not seen. Well, how does faith come? All right, go over to Romans 10:17. I know this is review, but it's good for you. How does faith come? How do you get it? Praying for it? Attending church? Well, if you attend this one, faith will come. And others. I've attended some churches where the more I attended, the more faith left. Well, yeah. I mean, seriously, tongues is of the devil. They destroy faith in tongues. Healings passed away. Miracles have passed away. Well, how does it come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the doctrines of man. I'm sorry. Faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. Let's put this together now. The just shall live by faith. Well, how does faith come? How do I know what it is even? Well, faith comes not by hearing man's doctrine, but when you find either in the Word yourself or you hear good teaching and preaching where they are accurately telling you what God said. That's how faith comes. It doesn't come any other way either. Praying in the Holy Ghost strengthens your faith. But you still got to hear the Word of God. Paul said, how shall they hear without a... Somebody's got to preach the Word of God to you, or give you a Bible, or hand you a tract. Somehow you got to get God's Word. Now the Holy Ghost illuminates God's Word. Faith comes by hearing. So that's how we get it. God wants us to live by faith. That's why He gives us His Word, so we'll know what to believe. But now the thing of it is, once you have faith, it's going to be the evidence of something that you can't see. Why in the world did God set it up like that? You know, you get to thinking about it. I mean, I get letters like this. They don't word it exactly this way. I remember when I struggled with this in the early days myself. I mean, God wants us to have faith and have His Word is the evidence of things that we can't see. You know, nothing in this whole world works like that. You think about parents that are expecting a baby. Boy, I mean, now, months before the baby arrives, the room is being painted, the baby's room, they're out shopping for furniture, all preparations. If they don't know how to prepare baby formula or whatever, they attend classes, the child rearing and all of these different things. I mean, all preparations are made. And when the baby arrives, parents don't say to the baby, now the baby is crying, it wants milk. Which parent says to the baby, now ask and believe you receive when you pray? In other words, we provide the milk by need and by sight. And we even provide it ahead of time. See, whether you realize it or not, before you set your derriere in the chair, subconsciously there's an engineer on the inside of you. You probably didn't even consciously think about it, but you sized up that chair before you sat in it. And you made logical, rational, scientific decisions. I believe that chair will support my weight. Let's see. Yeah? I sat in it last... Past experience, I sat in it last Wednesday. It held me then. Looks the same. I think it'll hold me now. Everything that we do in this world... I like to use this example. God did give us our five physical senses in order to navigate and operate in this world. If you're about to step off the curb into the street and you look at the coming traffic and there is a bus approaching, I hope to God you have not enough sense not to step in front of the bus. I mean, everything in this world, we learn to live by what we see. Everything. And we're going, well, why does God require us to operate differently than that in His kingdom? Now, this may come as a great shock to you. God didn't set it up that way originally. God was just like us in the beginning. When He was about to create His first child, Adam, create His first man, you can read about it in Genesis. He began painting the bedroom. He began preparing the earth. He began preparing the garden, putting the fish and the birds and the plants and the trees. And He saw that everything was good. He did exactly like we do. And everything for Adam and Eve was by sight and by need. They didn't have to believe for the tree. The tree was there. They didn't have to believe for the fruit. Father, I believe I receive fruit. I will stand and confess fruit until I have fruit. No, he just walked over and got fruit or whatever you needed off the tree. They had everything that they needed. God provided by need and by sight. Originally, God set it up that way. Well, what happened? Why now are we required to receive for faith to be in something that we can't see? What happened? Well, it's not what God did. It's what Adam did. The answer to that question and why we are now required to live by faith goes all the way back to the original sin in the garden. So go back to Genesis chapter 2. The only thing that God required of Adam, you find it right here in Genesis 2:17. And God gave them everything, everything that they would ever need. They were in paradise of paradise, by need and by sight. They weren't even required to operate by faith except on one thing. And that's this verse. God said to them, to Adam, actually, at this point, he says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, boy, how plain is that? See, Adam now had God's word. Faith had come. He knew what to do. He knew accurately. He had God's word on it. Faith had come. His job was to live by that. Okay? He could see that tree, though. Now, see, that in this case, what he couldn't see was death. Because at that point, nothing had yet died. That was the part for him. It's almost in reverse. He had almost the reverse. See, what we have now abundantly is death. You'll see why here in a minute. Everything's been flip-flopped 180 degrees. And everything that we truly need, like love, life, joy, happiness, all of those things, that's where faith is required. It's almost the exact opposite. In his case, he had all of those things. And the thing he couldn't see was death. But he had God's word on it. Got this? Is it making sense? All right, now. Adam had God's word. And you know, the serpent didn't really approach Adam directly. The serpent approached Eve. Go ahead and be turning the next. Stay in Genesis. We're coming back to Genesis 3. Keep your finger there. But go to 1 Timothy 2:14. I want you to see this now. For years, I didn't understand how important this was. You see, because the Bible doesn't lay sin to Eve's account, even though she's the one that the devil approached. And by the way, his tactics haven't changed. You know, he starts right away, "Has God said?" He just comes and he begins questioning the Word of God, because that's how he attacks faith. Even after you've heard God's Word, and you have faith, well, he begins undermining God's faith. And that's what he did with Eve. He says, "No, are you not allowed to eat of all these trees?" "No, well, we can eat of all the trees except this one. God said, don't eat of this one. Don't even touch it or we'll die." And he just bluntly, blatantly says, "Thou shalt not die." He blatantly comes against the Word of God. Frontal assault. But that's interesting that he went to Eve and not Adam. Because at the time God spoke that, Eve only existed within Adam. She did not yet have her own consciousness. She was still in the DNA, if you've heard those tapes of Adam. So Adam was the one that heard it. Eve has actually heard it secondhand through Adam. Okay? And so here comes the enemy. And he directly tempts her with all of these different assaults. He is assaulting the mind. He's exalting her thought life. All right? 1 Timothy 2:14. "And Adam was not deceived." Now, get that. Boy, I didn't, you know, in a few minutes here, that's going to become more important to you than you ever thought. Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. But all through the New Testament, sin is never laid to Eve's account. She was involved in this. But see, she was tricked. She was deceived. She did it almost innocently because she was deceived. Paul says about himself, he says, even though when he was Saul and he persecuted the church even unto death, he said, "God had mercy on me because he knew I did it ignorantly. I did it ignorantly." Well, whatever's going on here, Adam didn't do it ignorantly. Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Now go back to Genesis now. "The devil came in the form of a serpent to deceive Eve through tempting her to believe his lies instead of God's word. She was deceived in her mind when she ate the fruit." Now look at Genesis 3:6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, specifically, let's look at that last portion. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, stop right there. It tells us that Adam is with her. What did God say to Adam? The day you eat that fruit, you'll surely die. Well, Adam's right there. Eve's about to eat the fruit. If you'll picture Eve standing there, he's watching. Whatever that fruit was, put it in her mouth. She ate it, and Adam's watching. Well, God said she'd die. And he's watching. And she doesn't die. She takes another bite. Chews it and swallows it. Adam's watching. She doesn't die. Now the tempter, nowhere in this are we told that the tempter said anything to Adam. Now Adam wasn't deceived by what he heard. Adam was moved by what he saw. He's watching. He said, God said we'd die. But with my own eyes, I see that she has eaten and she has not died. Now Adam's in a dilemma. What is the truth? God said, in the day that we eat that tree, eat of the fruit of that tree, we'd die. I'm watching my wife. She ate the whole fruit. Now she's asking me to eat some. And she's not dead. But God said she would die. But my eyes, my senses, I can touch her. I can hear her voice. I can smell her perfume of the lilacs, whatever they used in the garden. I don't know. All of his senses were now telling him something opposite to what God had said. And like a judge, he has to render a verdict. What is truth? God said we'd die, but all the evidence, remember our word, all of the evidence. I have God's word as evidence, but now I have all my physical senses are giving me evidence. Which one is truth? I don't know how long he struggled. Maybe not long. But you can tell by his action when he rendered a verdict. He may not have said these words, but by his action he was saying, God's word is not true. And what my physical senses tell me, that is true. Yes, dear, pass that plate of fruit to me. The way out, you know what happened after that? God did not lie. And as soon as he ate of that apple, here, again, this is a day to look at it in your own Bible. Go to Romans 5:12. God didn't lie to Adam. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Adam was moved by what he saw, what he heard, what he could feel, what he could touch, what he could smell, and he chose that evidence. See, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith in God's word is the substance of things hoped for. It's the only evidence you need of the things that you cannot see. While he had God's word, he could not see death. While he had faith in God's word, he had faith that death exists, but he couldn't see death. But see, once he chose the circumstances, once he chose the physical evidence over God's word, now what he couldn't see, he had it now. And the whole universe flip-flopped. Suddenly now, sin, and then death by sin, the curse came upon the earth. And now we're all if you'll allow me, outside the garden, even though we've been born again, yet now all the promises of God are yes and amen in Him. And it's all free by grace, all right. It is. But hey, you're in Romans 5? Back up just a little bit and look at this. It is all by grace. Look at verse 1 and 2 of Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, being justified by what? Faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But now here's the verse. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It is all been paid for by Jesus. He provide His blood, His sacrifice. He's the only human that ever, human, God, human, you know what I mean by that. He's the only man that ever fulfilled the law, perfectly fulfilled it. And because of that, He's the man who was qualified to take our curse upon Himself. It is finished. The law has been fulfilled and the curse has been fully carried out. See, God's a forgiver, yes, sir, but one of His attributes is justice and judgment. And He could not forgive without the punishment being exacted on somebody, or it would violate one of His attributes. Yeah, I want to provide forgiveness, but I am also judgment. How can you do both? I will become man, and I will bear the judgment for them. And through that judgment, you will go free.
Hallelujah.
Faith in that is where access into all the grace of God. But you got to believe God's word on it, because I'm telling you, evidence will come. And they're contrary to everything that the word of God says. And you're going to be faced with the same choice as Adam. Time and again, you're faced with it. I know what God's word said, but look at this physical evidence. I thank God again. It's a simple illustration. I'll use myself instead of you. Aren't you happy about that? 2 years ago, I was in such bad physical condition in my back and my hip. And I'm usually pretty good about recognizing the onslaught of the enemy. I'm usually pretty good about recognizing it and right away fighting against it, whatever it is the enemy tries to come against me with. But this one, it was so gradual. It just come on me so slowly. It began about the year 2000, where I first noticed a little twinge of pain. I didn't know where I was. We were up in the White Plains, New York, doing some meetings for Christie. The first time I ever felt that little pain in my hip, my right hip. I thought, didn't think much about it. Well, that was the beginning of sorrows, as the Bible says. Slowly, ever so slowly. It reminds me of that story about how do you boil a frog, you know? You try and throw a frog in boiling water, you got a fight on your hands. But if you put him in that nice room temperature water and he likes that, and you slowly turn up the heat, he doesn't realize what's happening to him, and he dies in there. That's kind of what happens with us, with me. It was like Diablo, the drip on a rock. Slow, slow, slow. And to the point I didn't even recognize it, so I didn't employ any of the things I know about faith. See, I had knowledge of faith, but I wasn't doing it when it come to that one. I just didn't connect it up, never did. Well, it got worse and it got worse, and those of you that are here all the time know it got so bad. There was one night at Calling in the Lost, I couldn't stand in one spot long enough to deliver the service. Had to do it from a chair. Well, boy, now that's great, preaching faith from a chair, you know. Well, it's better than not preaching it at all.
Amen.
It's better than giving up and quitting. But I still didn't connect it up, and thank God for a godly wife who, in love, but very firmly one day, very firmly, because my mouth was just agreeing. See, this is what I mean. You can tell real quick. And you might be living in faith in one area and not living in faith in another area of your life. You know? I didn't realize it. I just didn't. I had let my mouth just agree with the circumstances, and I was just, man, this is just... Sue, she, glory to God, real firmly, not in a rebellious way, in a very loving way, but with firmness. She said, If you don't change what you're saying, the devil is going to put you in a wheelchair and steal the whole rest of your ministry. I mean, it was like somebody took a cold washcloth and smacked me across the face. It got my attention, you know. She's not normally like that with me. But I thank God she is when she needs to be. Well, I didn't realize. I said, well, Lord, if that's true, I didn't even realize it was that way. And I said, I remember praying, Lord, help set a watch on my lips. Set a watch on my lips where, you know, if you do that, then instead of you just blurting out everything you want to say, it's like right before you say it, he'll let you hear it. It's almost like you get a chance to not say it. Well, that's what began happening, and I was amazed at the number of times in a single day that I was about to say. And you got to remember, it was bad. Those of you that were, hey, our house is not huge. It's not a long distance from my couch to the bathroom. I had to crawl there. Now, it was serious. On all fours. Okay. It was serious. Got bad, and it was getting worse. The next step was either a wheelchair or a hip replacement. Maybe both. Asked the Lord to set a watch on my lips. Now see, this is the difference between the just shall know faith and the just shall live by faith. And I mean, it was amazing. Here, I catch myself about to say, oh, God, my hip is killing me. Boy, that's a real faith confession, isn't it? And I've been saying that for years. And my back is just, I'm in such pain. And how many times I wonder did I say out of my mouth? I may have to have a hip replacement. All I'm doing is just joining right in with the devil. You all remember that? Time out for a minute. Y'all remember that cute story about the headstone that says, I told you I was sick. Y'all remember? I told you I was sick. See, for the believer, I mean, that's cute, you know. I told you I was sick. Here's a tombstone. That same person, if it's a believer, when he gets to heaven, Jesus is going to say, yeah, but I told you he's healed. You got to get your mouth agreeing with what he says. Well, I thank God. I mean, I began changing, and the pain was the same. The circumstances were the same. You ought to see somebody, and I'm just going to do this because I love you enough. Here I am, going to the bathroom. I'm not really going to go. For benefit of the tape, I got down on all fours. My bathroom, you've been there, LaRue. It's from here to you, from the couch. Here I am. Man of faith and power, teaches at the prayer center. Here I am. By his stripes, crawling on my hands and knees, I was healed. Oh, God. Jesus, yourself, you bore my sicknesses and carried my pains, and with your stripes I am healed. You got to start somewhere. If you can't do anything else, it starts with the mouth. Because faith in God speaks. Now that brings us to the next one. Mark, go ahead and be turning to Mark 11:23. Now while you're turning there, let me read this to you. By the way, this letter, I just wrote this yesterday, or the day before, and it is at the website on the resources page if you'd like to have a copy of this later. You can print one out yourself. Now, while you're turning there, let me summarize now. The serpent did not deceive Adam. See, Adam made a deliberate choice based on physical evidence. It's Adam, really, that caused us to be in the faith situation that we're in now. Lack of faith in God's Word and trusting what he could see, that was the doorway out of the garden. That was what brought man out of God's grace, if you'll allow me. That's what brought us, the whole world, into the curse. Well, now, because of that door, that was the door out, lack of faith in God's Word, the only way back in is through that same door. See, now you got to have faith in God's Word. And it's because Because now we live in a fallen world. Have you noticed we're not in the Garden of Eden? Have you noticed that? Now, death is what we see. The curse is what we see. Everything just left on its own gets worse. Have you noticed that? Weeds grow without cultivation. Have you noticed that? The things that we want is not what you can see. Faith, love, joy, how about healing? You know, you can't even get saved without faith. People say, no, it's all by grace. You don't have to believe nothing. You don't have to say nothing. You don't have to do nothing. You're all just saved anyway. Oh, baloney. How many church services was you in your life? How many times did you hear the gospel before you acted on it? I've seen people go to the... Thank God, even in that little country denominational church I grew up in, they preached the cross of Christ accurately, and you could get saved there. And I've seen men hear the same gospel, one reject it and walk out, another one go down to the altar, give his life to Christ, and boy, the change was immediate. One, his whole life would change. Maybe he was a womanizing, alcoholic, drink up all his paycheck type of guy before. Go down to that altar and get saved. Become a pillar of the community. Not a gambler anymore. Not a drinker anymore. Not running around on his wife anymore. Don't tell me the gospel doesn't work. But he had to act. It is by faith that we have access into this grace wherein we stand. You can't even get saved without faith in the gospel message. Then you have to believe it and act on it. And getting back to this, the serpent did not deceive Adam. Adam made a deliberate choice based on the physical evidence. Like a judge, he had to render a verdict regarding truth based on what he could see and touch or else on what God had spoken. When he saw that Eve did not drop dead after she ate the fruit, whether he said these words or not, he made this decision. The evidence my five physical senses present to me, that is truth. And I can't trust God's word to be truth. Based on that reasoning in his mind, Adam ate. His sin was not based on the lies of a tempter, but rather on a cold, logical decision produced from physical evidence that he esteemed to be a higher authority than God's word. But God had not lied to Adam. The moment he disobeyed God's word, the truth God had spoken manifested in him and in all mankind ever since. Sin immediately entered into his nature, and death began working both in his spirit and in his body. Lack of faith in what God had spoken was the way out of God's grace. And that's why the only way back into the grace of God is through faith in his word. No matter what your physical senses tell you, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is all the evidence you need of the things that you cannot see. Glory to God. Is that good stuff or what? But now let's come around to it. Because Jesus, in Mark 11, he starts talking to us about the literal mechanics of faith. The mechanics of it. He says, have faith in God. The more, in verse 22, in the more accurate translation, it says, have the God kind of faith. But the purest translation I ever heard, have the faith of God. In today's vernacular, we would say, have God's own faith. Now, see, it's one thing for me to operate on Jim Martin's faith. Might be another thing for me to operate on Pastor Dave's faith. But what if you could operate on God's faith? Whoa, I'll take that one. I love Jim, but I'll just take that one. Thank you. I'll take God's faith every time. And that's really what Jesus says here. In the Greek language, it says, have the faith of God, or have God's faith. Have God's own faith. How in the world would you do that? Well, he tells us. And again, because of the backlash that's coming against the faith movement, listen, there is some chaff to separate from the wheat out there. A lot of stuff being taught Dad Hagen would never put his seal of approval on. But I thank God for the revelation knowledge that he laid down concerning what faith is. Now, Jesus, now you can rant and rave all you want to about it. It's all by grace, Brother Gary. It's all by grace. Faith, you don't have to do nothing. Well, you're going to have to take that up with Jesus, because that's not what Jesus taught. Now, Mark 11:23 says, "Verily I say unto you that..." He says, have faith in God. Well, how would I do it? "I say unto you that whosoever shall..." Now, "whosoever shall say..." When he starts teaching about having God's own faith, and you can go all the way back to Genesis. Everything was created, and God said, and God said, and God said. Do you ever think about this? Everything that is was created by God's Word, and did you know that's why everything that is will respond to God's Word? Its substance is God's Word. And it will respond to the Word of God when it's faith. That's my wife. Say it again, baby.
It's good.
Everything was created out of God's Word. At its core, at its essence, it is God's Word. And that's why it will respond to God's Word. Everything. That's why I say you can hang around somebody. You could have hung around me 2 years ago before Sue, bless her darling heart, got in my face and needed to get in my face. Before she corrected me, you could have hung around me just any time at all. 15, 20 minutes and you'd have found out right quick. I wasn't living by faith by what I was saying. I wasn't speaking to my mountain. My mountain at that point was my hip and my back. Now look what he says here. "Whosoever, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now what was my mountain in that situation? Let's just keep it real simple. What was my mountain? Hip pain, back pain. Oh, I was talking about the mountain. I was telling everybody about the mountain. Man, my mountain is... Let me hear about your mountain. Oh, your mountain's little. Let me tell you about my mountain. I'd talk to you about... Oh! Now, in church, I'd try and straighten up some, you know. But boy, you know, anywhere else... Oh, God! You know? Oh! And my mouth... My hip is getting... Lord, I'm just saying it for their sake. I know you hear me always, but for their sake, I say it. Oh, my back is hurting. My hip is killing me. Oh, I may have to have a hip replacement. I mean, you can tell real quick. I'm not talking to the mountain. I'm talking about the mountain. Then the other thing you do is go talk to God about the mountain. Don't we do that? God, have you noticed my mountain? Oh, God, remove my mountain. Oh, God, please come and take this mountain away from me. And from his point of view, he's going, I did 2,000 years ago. By his stripes, I'm looking around. I don't have a second son to send. No, the one I sent, he finished the work. His stripes are sufficient for you. Yes, by his stripes. Just a minute. The father looks over, pulls back the robe, looks on Jesus' back. Yeah, the scars from the stripes are still there. That's all the evidence you need. By his stripes you're healed. But we tend to talk to God about the mountain. We want to come talk to Pastor LaRue about our mountain. We want to come in and talk to our pastor. I need counseling. No, you need faith. You need to get a tape like this one and play it till your ears fall off on the floor.
Hallelujah.
And quit listening to people that don't know what faith is. You can die if you don't understand this message. And I'm telling you, we're talking about serious stuff. If you think we're going to have revival and not understand this, got another thing coming. Glory to God. Now, people are going, can rail against faith all they want to. But you're not going to ever... What Jesus said, this whole world is going to pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away. My words, faith will be faith 3 eternities and 2 days from now. It's not ever going to change. You're going to learn how to talk to your mountain, or you're going to be under the mountain the rest of your life. Now, that's just the way it is. Because your mountains are coming, honey. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And you better learn this sooner than later. Now, one thing you got to learn, it's in that verse. Most people have almost no faith, absolutely no trust that what they say will come to pass. That's why they just say goofy stuff all the time. And it's okay to tell jokes. I thank God for Dave's humor. But see, there's a big difference between that and just having no confidence that anything you say will ever come to pass. You know why you can have faith in God's Word? Well, He can't lie. What He says, it's true. What did Jesus say? Father, sanctify them through Thy truth. Thy word is truth. See, what God says, you can take it. We could say you can take it to the bank. You can risk your life on it because it is truth. See, when you give your word, see, how does a person develop confidence that what they say will come to pass? Well, let me ask you this. When you say to somebody, you give your word, does your word come to pass? In other words, do you keep it? If you say you're going to do something, do you do it? If you say you're going to do it at a certain place or at a certain time or in a certain way, do you do that? And if it doesn't matter to you, then you've got a character problem. God doesn't have a character problem. But see, if your word doesn't mean anything to you, then it's hard to relate to somebody who can't lie. Say, well, how would I start believing that what I say will come to pass? Well, first off, do everything you can to keep your own word. Start developing some confidence that what you say, bless God, that's the way it's going to be. But what does affect it is if you just don't flippin' care. I'll keep my word if it's convenient for me, and I may not if it's not convenient for me. That you're going to have a hard time living by faith because that's not the character of God. You know, if you pray, if you spend a lot of time praying in tongues and doing this message, that will change in you. Because your Father cannot lie, and He's making us into a people that will not lie. We have the capacity. We know we have the capacity. That don't mean you have to do it. So I want to have more faith. Start keeping your word. What you say, my dad used to tell me. He said, boy, the only thing you have... He's always boy. I don't know. I'll be 60 in January and it's still boy. My dad's hoping I grow up someday. Glory to God. He's 86. Still broad at the shoulder and narrow at the hip, and you don't want to give no lip to O.R. Carpenter. I'm telling you right now. He used to tell me, boy, most valuable thing on planet Earth, most valuable thing you have is your word. If your word's no good, you're no good. Men won't ever care anything about what you say either. If you give your word, we used to do jobs, you know, you'd estimate those construction jobs, and we had a lot of experience. My dad was in construction virtually his whole life, and you'd go out and you'd look, survey the land, look at everything. You'd lay it down in price. And you'd estimate the job, you know. We'll do it for this much money. And you start the job, and what looked like it was going to be nice, soft soil to work in, you hit solid rock. I remember it was one job. We should have been done with that job in about 3 weeks, and we were on it in our third month, jackhammering through solid rock. Couldn't dynamite there because it's a residential area. Jackhammering in order to do these footings. Losing money every day. And Dad says, my word is more valuable than the money. We'll told him we'll do it for this much, and we're going to do it for this much. If my dad would have had his way, he would never do a paper contract. He didn't grow up with men doing paper contracts. Where he grew up, your word was your bond, and a handshake settled it. And I mean, you would keep that to death. That's when he grew up, that's the way it was. You're going to do something, you make an agreement with somebody, business agreement of any kind. A handshake and your word, that's all we need. Now, he learned as time went on that things were not still that way. And we wound up having to do things with contracts. But he always longed for the early days. Now, why am I saying all that? Because it's time for change. Lip service to faith is not going to get it done. Head knowledge about faith is not going to get it done. Those words from the early days, that when Sue and, they were early for us when Sue and I first began coming here back in 1992. And I'd hear Dave say things like, if we're going to go somewhere that nobody's been for 2,000 years, we're going to have to do some things that nobody's done for about 2,000 years. And he'd say things like, the enemy, he is going to stop you if you're stoppable. And he'd say things like this, we're not going to have God's best until you get past Satan's worst. Any of that ringing a bell? Well, listen, church attendance is not what overcomes the devil. Faith is what overcomes the devil. To those that overcome, over and over again, to those that overcome, I will give this and I will give that. To those that overcome, how do you overcome? It's faith in that blood of the Lamb. And the word of our testimony. That means you speak. And they love not their lives unto the death.
Hallelujah.
What does that mean? Don't matter what comes. It doesn't matter the persecution. It does not matter the trouble. It doesn't matter what hell sends. We will have victory even if it requires my life. We will have our Father's will on this earth. Let me finish it up. I didn't get to verse 24 now. Let me read 23 again. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say... Now, we need to do a checkup from the neck up. And we need to look for hardening of the attitudes. I'm afraid we have all become a little puffed up in our knowledge. And real cream puff when it comes to our faith. And we're just kind of letting happen what happens. And we've let go of the fundamentals. I'm going to tell you again. I could hang around you about 15... Well, like at least in an hour. Because I've learned the secret is to let you talk and me listen. I used to want to always do all the talking. Yeah. I can be around you just a little while. Let you talk. It's not even discernment. You're just telling me. I can tell by what you say. I can tell by what you say. And not in church. Not when you're on guard. And I'm telling you, the church, for just like I wasn't, I'm still using me. We're not living by faith, people. We might know about it. We might could teach it. I just came back off of a great meeting where I taught faith. Great. Do you live by it? The just shall live by faith. Well, if you're not speaking to the mountains, this is why we do calling in the lost. It's one place you can come and get practice. There's not many places you can go and learn on purpose how to call those things that be not as though they were.
Amen.
This is one place you can come and practice that. Speak to the mountain. But if you're not speaking, you're not really into faith. The first thing Jesus talks about, have the faith of God, whosoever shall say. Have the faith of God, whosoever shall say. Have the faith of God, whosoever shall say. What in the name of heaven have you been saying? Check up from the neck up. Hardening of the attitudes. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart. I'm telling you right now, you can have your head full of doubts and win this victory every time. I've had doubts assail me in the middle of battles. They come as fast as machine gun bullets, thoughts in my brain. Does not change what you believe in your heart. You hold fast your confession and you will have what you say. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. Say it with me. What I say,
what I say
comes to pass.
What I say
comes to pass.
You've
got to believe that. Got to believe it. It'll change a lot of what you're saying, I'm telling you right now. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray. Now see, it's not like the garden. Adam didn't have to go. I'm asking for fruit. I believe I receive fruit. I am confessing fruit. And one day I will have fruit. No, he was on the reverse side of this thing. He just walked over and got the fruit. No, we're on the flip-flop of that. If you leave stuff alone, you know what you're going to get? The curse. We're out of the garden where the curse is. And grace has been provided, but the only access into it is faith. And faith speaks. Faith prays. And it doesn't have to have any physical evidence. You believe you receive when you pray. He heard you. And now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it is the evidence. How do you know you have it? He heard me when I prayed. Yeah, but it doesn't look like you have it. He heard me when I prayed. When are you going to get it? I've already received it. I've already received it. Someday you may see it, but I've already received it. He heard me when I prayed. The just shall live by faith. See you in 30 minutes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.